Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
With less than a week to go to the final matric exams, there are schools in some of Nelson Mandela Bay's most impoverished areas that find themselves in dire straits. And there's a rush on to find more desks, to fix electricity problems, amongst others, and also to try and squeeze in extra study time. We've got Basil Manuel from NAPTOSA, the National Association of Professional Teachers of South Africa, joining us. And Basil, your take on the situation. We're not being alarmist. There are problems, aren't there?
There are problems, and I think it goes far beyond only the school. But the school is the important place because that is where the actual writing will take place. So our first port of call is to check that every school is exam ready. And that means that there's a locale, first of all, and secondly, that that place is habitable. And secondly, of course, that things like desks, etc., are there. And we know that we've had various issues of vandalism and the vagaries of the weather, etc. And not every province has been at it all the time to get these things repaired. But Umalusi has given us the assurance because we can't get to every place. And so we also depend on a number of things, our members for one. And secondly, of course, the report from these independent bodies like Umalusi. And they are satisfied that 99% of the 9,200 writing centers are ready. There were one or two that were still needing attention. Durban had some. The outskirts of Durban, the outskirts of Stanger, down in the Eastern Cape. And you'd see that it's mainly the rural, more rural provinces. But then, too, we worried about monitoring, because our education department districts have been hollowed out. Many, many vacancies. And those vacancies are, of course, telling. So Umalusi has had to employ additional people to observe and to check that the exam flows smoothly. And then, of course, the security and then the weather, too, to still deal with when papers are being distributed.
Are you comfortable that the standards that are being adhered to are acceptable? We've sent some of our reporters out to the Greater Nelson Mandela Bay area during the course of the past week, and they've reported seeing, amongst other things, dangling electrical wires which appear dangerous in classrooms. There are broken ceilings, and we have already mentioned not enough tables and chairs. Time's running out. You comfortable we're going to be okay?
Comfort is a difficult one. We are worried about rural areas that have been affected by vandalism. And there are those little things that we sometimes don't see, like are the lights working? And in some provinces, of course, the very department is to blame for that. We've submitted a detailed report. We've spoken to Malusi. There's a general feeling that we are okay in 99.9% of the areas. But that's not good enough. We also don't want any situation to stress our children out, because those little things like a very legitimate protest in an area can upset the child's entire schooling career because they can't get through to write. And we've made various appeals and we've put certain measures in place, but there are limits to what one can do if, in fact, not everybody has come to the party.
In addition to the specifics we've pointed out, a lot of these problems have their roots in poverty, crime, substance abuse, and even in some cases, child-headed households. These are societal challenges that we continually wrestle with and don't seem to be getting on top of, Basil.
Yes, and look, in the grand scheme of things, Darren, I think one has to appreciate how much has been done. But every other day, you are shocked at the state of things. You're shocked at the violence. You're shocked at the fact that schools are being held to ransom and extorted for protection. How much more, then, are the individual children being affected? And these are constant concerns that we've been talking about. But talking is not good enough unless there's a plan to address it. And safety of children and the school as a safe place has to be a priority, including the number of teachers, including the quality of teachers, and the quality of the facility.
Have you been in direct contact with your members and teachers on these issues? Look, a number of teachers really go above and beyond in order to make sure that their pupils and their learners do excel. And we've got the exams starting, I think the 21st of October, the first exam's been set down for. Have you had feedback from your members and the teachers so far?
From every province, and tomorrow morning we gather again, representatives from every province. Our administrative heads of the province will be here in my head office, and we will be talking about their reports on, among other things, the exams. We've had meetings with the ministers, and of course, I say ministers because we're talking to the Minister of Police, we're talking to the Minister of Education, Social Development, because all these folk are people that can make an impact in the quality of the service that is rendered to schools.
I'm going to leave it there. I appreciate your time and thanks for joining us once again on Behind the Herald Headlines, always available to us. Basil Manuel from NAPTOSA. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you very much, Darren. Same to you. Be safe.
We continue our story now on the Education Department's state of readiness for the 2024 matric exams. We have Rian van den Berg joining us now. Rian is the Deputy CEO of FEDSAS, that's the Federation of Associations of Governing Bodies of South African Schools. Rian, thanks for your time. We've sent our reporters out to parts of Nelson Mandela Bay earlier on this week. They've reported poor infrastructure, lack of electricity in some cases, a shortage of chairs and tables, and we're just wondering how confident you and your organization are of us creating an environment that'll be conducive to learners producing their best. Will these be in place by Monday when the matric exams start?
Yeah, I think that's possibly a huge concern for us. We do not have the capacity or the manpower to go and visit most of the exam centers. And I know the department does quite a bit of that. But given the feedback from some of the journalists that have done that, and it differs in province, from province to province, but the situation, the picture that's been sketched of learners still waiting for desks to write the exam in and possibly in rooms without electricity or cables hanging around, that is of grave concern to us. Our learners deserve more. I think the minimum norms and standards for school infrastructure does not allow for that. So, yeah, it's an exam that is possibly a stepping stone for a lot of learners to economic active life and a world out there that gives them opportunities and expands their potential, and to not write in a conducive environment. I think our learners deserve better, and we should hold leadership accountable to not delivering. And it's not a surprise at this time of the year. You can't a week beforehand suddenly say, oh, there's no ceiling, oh, there's no roof. This should have been done beforehand. It's not as if we didn't know the exams were coming. So it's a sad state of affairs. Sadly, I'm not aware of all the individual cases like your team went and visited. The department does an exam readiness exercise, but they report back at high level at provincial and national level. And what the problem is with average. On average, it looks good, but there might be discouraging situations out there in individual cases.
Yeah. Learners will suffer the brunt of whatever the challenges are through no fault of their own. And for what it's worth, where does the buck stop? Are these societal issues that we need to resolve? Or is it as simple as the education department need to man up and sort this out?
Yeah, I think it's slightly layered. The Department of Education has very intense role to play in delivering infrastructure for school. And there is the regulations, the Schools Act, everything that the minister must gazette in the sense of what is the standard, the norms and standards for school infrastructure. But we know that comes with a lot of legacy and historical shortfalls. But I don't think that could be an excuse. It should not be that our learners suffer in this day and age on issues of infrastructure, where we, in the COVID years, we could quickly, or the COVID months, we could quickly respond, have funding and political will available to deliver water, to deliver sanitation. And I cannot see that we cannot do that. So the multi-layers of the situation includes the departmental regulations and compliance with that, the funding structure and funding model, and we know that there's budget constraints and even talks of budget cuts. We know the economy is under pressure, but there is money. It's just there's no new money. So it's a question of prioritizing and governance and good management on that. And then there's a layer of the, call it the identity model of our schools in South Africa, which are public schools. And I think there's a portion of responsibility at those schools in front of the community and on the desk of the governance structure, the governing body at such a school. If you don't have the resources, what plans are you making either to generate resources or to elevate the problems to the decision makers to say, we cannot stand for this. in some cases, it sounds like some of the rooms might even be, not compliant with occupational health and safety scenarios. And that should have been reported and said, we cannot have our learners sit in these rooms, not just for the exam. It's not the exam that's the problem, it's a day-to-day school. Learners in a classroom problem. So we shouldn't isolate just the exam and exam readiness. It should be day-to-day schooling readiness as well. So I think the partnership model on which our public school system is based, the community, the ownership, the responsibility, even if it's just to raise the flag and to highlight the problems and say, we should take ownership of our schools. We should also be more interested in the, call it the education journey as parents of our learners than the department is, and not abdicate our responsibility in that. And I'm not saying that the parents or the governing bodies are responsible for these situations, but they should have responded in March, not a week before the exam. So we need to be ready for the exam. In fact, we need to be ready for day-to-day classing. Yeah, so it's good that there's a highlight on it now, but it's sad that it's such a late surprise.
Rian, but it's not just this year either. It seems to be a perennial problem in South Africa, and we just don't quite seem to get to grips with it. This does raise its head every the start of every school year, and then again when the matric exams roll around. There are other times as well, but those particular parts of the year seem highlighted.
Yeah, I think the cycle of awareness of things, start of the year, it's admissions and space for school, and then suddenly there's a highlight on infrastructure, and end of the year is the exam and the importance of this exam, which puts a spotlight on this issue. But yes, it is actually an ongoing issue. It's something that we should talk about more often without the crisis management behind it. And we should possibly sit in a situation where we make plans together, where the dialogue is around the table far more often than once a year in the media when the exams come. And yes, we celebrate the learners that perform well in the midst of these bad circumstances. But we should also then put the highlight on, in spite of the circumstances, they did well. But when are we changing the infrastructure? There's proper rules and regulations to say what constitutes a classroom, what constitutes the size of a classroom, what the funding model should be for that, and society should keep government accountable and definitely not just turn away and say, well, we're waiting for it. It is a very large sector. The schooling sector involves close to 25,000 schools, which include 22,500 odd public ordinary schools. Add to that the Elson sector, the special needs sector, and then the independent sector. So it's a huge sector, and we understand the difficulties of that. And that's why from a governing body association point of view, we believe more decentralized power, more decentralized responsibility into the hands of the local community represented by the governing body, and funding to follow in that sense. So there's a lot of problems in the sector, but we need to address some of these. And we work for 12 years towards this exam. The kids sat on and suddenly this is the pinnacle of their schooling career, and we're sitting with these hurdles. So yeah, very much concerned and feel saddened for the learners. We should do everything we can to support them in this time.
Deputy CEO of FEDSAS, the Federation of Associations of Governing Bodies of South African Schools, Riaan van den Berg, thank you very much for joining us on Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann today.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.